Fifers, and welcome back once again to your favourite backwater podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
Talk about it. Talk about it. All the time. To bore the tits off people about it. Like, they'll never want to listen to it, but just keep telling them until eventually they crumble in the corner, start rocking back and forward, holding their knees.
Oh, you've just described my week, mate.
Thanks.
Yeah, anybody that knows me, they're fucking bored of this already.
I'm bored of you. What?
Yeah, fuck this.
Fuck off. That's it. First rule, please talk about Fife Club. I don't have any other rules this week because I forgot to do one. Anybody?
Never eat yellow snow.
Yeah. It's a very important life lesson, though.
That's quite sensible, yeah. It's a sensible rule.
So Phil Collins was an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Oh, Jesus. Do I need to start an apology section?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think you need to start an apology podcast. Yeah. 15 minutes every week.
I'm looking forward to Phil Collins and Ken Livingston's podcast.
Yeah, very much.
Okay, so anyway, once again, we would love to thank everyone, old and new, that downloaded and gave us a listen. Our thanks to Max as well for jumping in last minute last week and not only being a great guest, but helping us push this wee poddy out there to some new listeners. And on that note, if you are enjoying our wee chats, then please do share, like, and retweet the social pages and links. Tell your friends, get us tattooed to your forehead, if you want. Also, talk to us. We don't bite. We do also love the feedback and interactions we're getting. So, yeah, go forth, Fife Army.
Fife Army is quite an apt one for today, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think so. That's why I kind of put that in.
Oh, God.
Foreshadowing.
So good.
On the mention of some socials, Jamie.
Please get in contact with us on Facebook at facebook.com/FifeClubPod. Or at Fife Club Pod, Twitter at Fife Club, email fifeclubpod@gmail.com.
Thank you very much.
You don't have to put an eh?
But it helps.
I'll get you directly there.
On to the introductions. As always, joining myself, Kutch, this week is El Uno de Henhembre, Jamie.
Hello.
El Pluma Hombre, Mark.
What up, sports fans?
And El Cono Perezozo, Petey. Wait, no, sorry. Fucked it up again, guys.
Yeah.
Pete's not here again, as this week he is on holiday.
What a prick.
Yeah. If anyone's actually seen him, could they report his whereabouts? Because we're a little bit concerned.
He's on a sex holiday, mate. with
his sister-in-law and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, and Fife. Ben.
That is Fife for you.
That's Fife for you.
And they've taken it to England as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, in his absence, we have another lovely guest. Please give a warm welcome to El Jorieso Bandido de Henhambre.
Hello.
Dave.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
I'll just agree. That's fine. Thanks.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I think you that one lovely. Was the luxurious ginger bandit.
Thank you. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And Petey was the lazy cunt.
Wow. Yeah, no, seriously.
But he's not here.
Yeah. But he has just about got enough medication. So you do find him. Like, he's got a bracelet on. It's fine.
We are here again, episode 9. Who would have thought we would have got this far?
Yeah, no, really. I thought we'd peak around 4 and then just give up.
I thought we'd be like a Joss Whedon series, have a strong few episodes and get cancelled.
And then get cancelled, yeah.
And then wait for all 7 of our listeners to campaign for us to come back.
Yeah, exactly. Write letters
on Netflix.
Hey, guys, Netflix might take them on.
There's one guy in Ghana with that campaign, so don't go. And he's wondering what a Fife Wicker Man is as well. He's a lad, that guy.
But he's built one.
Yeah, he's built one. Yeah. Now that we are here, and we have Dave, thought we would ask, what's your history with podcasts?
History of podcasts for me, I listen to the popular nonsense, to be honest. I listen to Scroobius Pip Distraction Pieces, Joe Rogan Experience, and Adam Buxton.
Good
shit. That's about it. Sometimes comedian, but it's kind of shit.
Scroobius Distraction Pieces is great.
Yeah, Distraction Pieces is good because you get some quite a sort of variety of guests, and I like the Joe Rogan ones because there's so many of them you can dip in and out with shit ones.
Yeah.
Just find the good ones.
Eddie Bravo going on about Flat Earth.
Yeah, it's like Tower 7 just all the time. Yeah, it's
Riking. Is Joe Rogan the one that does the
UFC one?
Yeah.
I only listen really to ones where he has MMA guests on because he is a little bit Alex Jonesy, Joe Rogan. Not as bad as he used to be. He's actually sort of leveled out a bit. But
the conspiracy side, he knows it's a joke a lot of the time, I think. Yeah. He plays with it and he finds kind of like when we did our episode. It's finding them interesting.
Yeah. Although he also believes that conspiracy about the machine people when you take not ayahuasca, but
DMT, isn't
DMT.
It? Yeah,
and
totally.
People from different cultures around the world have seen machine elves who talk to them and tell them what to do.
Right, okay.
And I think he believes that they like tell world leaders what to do and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of it. He believes in a reptilian race. But, yeah. You know, each of them.
He knows his shit about MMA, but
I wouldn't fight him. That's good. Oh,
yeah. I think one of the best ones I've watched recently was him and Kevin Smith, which was just a couple of stoners watching videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's
what it descended into. And it actually made for all right podcast material as well.
It was all right. The Neil deGrasse Tyson one he did recently as well was quality, because he's kind of like, I know. And I'll put it in layman's terms. Fuck all about space. Like, nothing. There's some stars, and I think they're just holes.
It's all holes.
It's all holes. It's all holes everywhere. But yeah, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson. He kind of puts it in a proper layman's terms and makes you understand things like infinity. That's what I understand.
The Brian Cox episode of Jorgen Experience was really good as well. Actually,
which is cool. Actually, yeah.
What did the actor Brian Cox?
See what you fucking did there.
Fair enough. So another question that we've been asking everybody that's come on, how do you feel about talking to the invisible audience?
It's a bit unusual. I got a bit nervous about it, being honest. Ah. I wrote 2 pages of notes.
and that's why you're now Dave Research Rogers.
Dave Research Rogers. I wrote 2 pages of notes and I haven't referred to them once. So.
Well, see, if Beatty was here, he'd be ripping you for it.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Exactly.
It's been a bit weird, but I think as we've gone along, it's become a bit more just like chatting with mates, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, very much.
The fact we're all naked makes things really simple.
It does.
Haggling the willy. It's awkward, yeah.
It's sort of like a Russian Banya experience, but without any of the racism. So, yeah.
So more racism.
Yeah, preferably. Well, unfortunately, Dave, I've got a reputation to uphold here. So, already...
Ken's going to be a guest on... Ken? Kevin's going to be a guest on Ken Livingston and...
Ken Livingston's podcast. Yeah. Wow, yeah, no. But just quickly to say an apology to Phil Collins and women. That's okay.
And the Irish.
And the Irish. Oh, crikey. The list just gets longer and longer. And today it will be the Spanish.
Well, you've got that reputation of the bigot the podcast uphold, so...
Podcast cartoon bigot. Yeah, absolutely.
See, some people might think you're trying to do the old pub landlord bit, but...
Yeah, you know I'm a terrible, horrible bigot. It's fine. You've known me long enough. It's fine. You get away with it. You libtard snowflake.
Ah, dear. Well, that was interesting. Thanks for your input.
Ah, no bother.
I've got a moan.
Oh, good. Can I just quickly refer back to my previous moan about Haribo adverts last week? I was sitting watching the TV with my mum the other day, and we were having dinner. The Haribo advert came on. Mum just turns to me like, this is just stupid, isn't it? And I was like, yes, you're absolutely right, Mum. Absolutely bang on.
Did you listen to this week's podcast?
Yeah. Too much swearing in that for my mother, actually. She doesn't know I swear.
Lies. Well, mine's just kind of on a similar theme. It's about adverts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about those fucking horrible Oral-B adverts.
And that's Oral-B's lawyers just got in touch. just saying, we're listening.
It's a clamp down, motherfucker.
Where are you?
Sorry, guys, that was my phone. Anyway, the Oral-B adverts, have you seen them? They've been on for...
The one about using the electric toothbrush.
Oh, right. I didn't know they made toothpaste.
Yeah, it's always... it's always some young, chirpy, fresh, sort of faced female lead going to the dentist and... Oh, I didn't know dentists existed. And then my dentist said, "What, do you ever brush your teeth?" And I was like, teeth?
What are teeth?
They're just so horribly pretentious and dumb and the whole lot all rolled into one. And horrible dubbing.
Oh, yeah, horrible. It's sort of reminiscent of like Kinder Surprise adverts.
Yes.
It's like that kind of level.
That's a sound tech's nightmare.
Yeah.
I actually can't stand them. Every time there's a new one come on now, and it's just the same peddled shite. It's almost like, here's the science bit.
Yeah, oh yeah. Shut up, Jennifer Aniston.
And then
yeah.
and then you get some like bloody actor in a lab coat come across pretending to be a dentist. Yeah. And
you don't feel like he's got the requisite qualifications.
No, he definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
So, it's just Oral-B make toothpaste? Oh my god.
That shit does my head in, because it's the fact that it's like running across the strangers in the street and brushing mm-hmm. their teeth. Yeah. And it's like, have you tried this new toothpaste? What toothpaste? Oh my god. And we actually, I was sat the other night with Charlotte watching this nonsense and it mm. made me fucking angry. And it's like, I don't know if it's maybe because I'm British, so therefore like my thought on dental hygiene is kind of, it's a bit lax, but but god damn, yeah, I'm totally with you on that one.
No, they just, every time I'll sit and rant, and I think I rant to myself because I think Kirsty Dunner just switches off, but god, I hate them. They are just the worst type of advertising.
See, when I'm brushing teeth, there's this Richard Feynman, the physicist.
Mm-hmm.
He had this quote that always stuck with me, and it was, he talks about how, he's just talking about how the world is really weird when you stop and think about it. Like, following the sunrise, there's a wave of people just after it, all brushing their teeth all around the world, constantly. It's like, okay, Richard.
That is bizarre.
That is strange,
though. On adverts, though, guys, has anybody been following the old Pepsi controversy?
Oh, Pepsi geez, advert? I watched it today.
Wow. Holy Ooh. Hell. Wow, is wow. that bad?
Yeah. I decided not to watch it last night because there was a big Twitter storm about it, and I was like, I'm sure it's not that bad.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh my god, protesting, so cool. Only Pepsi can save the world. Oh my god.
It's Kendall Jenner. And they're also, they also sort of Who, appropriate.
Let's just be fair to Kendall Jenner, is an attractive looking lady.
Yeah.
No.
Is she one of the Kardashians?
Yeah.
She can fuck off.
Oh my god,
I can't look at them the same after
I just can't even deal with any of them because they're just so fucking vacuous and
they're incredibly vacuous.
The hottest one's the dad.
Yeah, well,
that's an opinion.
So that ruins your fantasy fight club. We're going to have a Kardashians Royal Rumble later on.
They appropriated that great photo from, it was either a Trump protest or a Black Lives Matter protest, probably.
It was Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, yeah. With a woman and the police sort of like falling away from her and she's just standing up really straight in the street. And they sort of appropriate that at the end. She's sort of doing it, but she gives them a Pepsi, the police.
Yeah.
But there's
some kind of historical reference to like, or is it a Banksy photo? I can't remember what it is, but there's like the handing the flower to
a soldier. Oh,
I don't know what that's called.
Is it not it's putting a flower in the gun. A really old. That's from the 69. Vietnam.
I think, yeah, no, exactly. It was absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Just misjudged in every single step, I think.
Do you know what? And also, like, the Black Lives Matter thing as well, it's also kind of quite interesting. Like, there's actually a historical part about Pepsi as well, mm-hmm. because back in years gone by when Pepsi and Cola, like Pepsi and Coke, the two rivals back in the days, the word Pepsi was used as a kind of racial insult against French Canadians as well. They were called Pepsis because they were so poor that they couldn't afford Coca-Cola, which was the real thing as well. So it's like already got an insulting undercurrent if you look back historically at it as well. So I mean, you should just be a bit more fucking careful.
It was,
and there's no cocaine in it, so down already.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's rubbish. Just speed in there.
No, I actually haven't seen the advert myself, and I think it's another one of these kind of angry advert moments, because it's like I read about it earlier on online and I was just like, I just, if I see that,
step
it's,
out.
Yeah, make my fucking blood boil. That's it.
It is going to really annoy libtard snowflakes like us in particular. There's a bunch of other people.
Well, it's fine. Like, Pepsi have pulled it now. So.
Yeah, they have pulled it. Like, that was the quickest one.
So,
and then there's a lot of people.
Libtards win again.
Really? Yeah, but there was a little bit, like, everyone's like, yeah, but it's got everybody talking about Pepsi again. It's like, there is a difference between, like, everyone talking about something and people going to buy it,
especially
like,
when you're a secondary product as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It could legitimately put people off buying your product. Like, all publicity is good publicity is just bullshit.
Saying that, I do think I had a can of Pepsi Max earlier today without even thinking about it.
Were you on a half pipe and did a sweet sweet trick?
Was it gnarly?
It was very gnarly. I then also stopped a riot. Nice.
Well done.
So you have had a decent old day then, really.
And I just led by my hero, Kendall Jenner.
Yeah,
my hero.
Such opinion.
So Anybody got anything else?
I'm probably want to start a little bit about the general sort of UK press coverage this week about how we're going to fucking fuck up Spain. Yeah, come on, Spain. Let's fucking have you. Eh? Brexit. We're going full Brexit here. We're actually recording this from outside local tapas restaurant La Ducal, where we've all got placards saying, fuck off, go home.
Take your small beef.
Take your small dishes of delicious food with you, you fuckers.
We just want plain chicken and nothing else.
Like, what time do you even eat your dinner, Spain? Yeah, too fucking late for us.
And I have to say, I found that a genuine problem on the continent. People, like, when I was in the Alps in Italy, people are literally waiting till 10, half 10 to have their dinner. And I was like, I can't survive like this.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a problem for me. That's
yeah, that's normal for you.
Dinner time, yeah.
But yeah, no, they don't like it up them.
But also, what does that even mean, right? What does that mean? What are we putting up them, right? Like, are we inserting something? And if so, where are we inserting it?
And
like,
why?
Because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I am absolutely creeped out by a wet willy. Like, I absolutely cannot stand that shit. Take your spitty finger out of my ear.
I'm glad you said that it was a spitty finger. And
something a bit
since
more
we're all naked, it'd be better. Yeah.
That's true. But,
I think
yeah.
A wet one would be better than dry anyway.
But this whole whipping up Britain into this like fevered post-imperialistic frenzy and stuff, particularly about Gibraltar as well, which as far as I can tell is just a fucking like tax exiled rock full of Barbary macaques. And like, if there's one thing I know about anything monkey or ape related, is that they throw shit around in public, they masturbate.
Like the Nigel Farages of
Seriously, I don't like that thing with the gunboat and everything like that. We chased them away with a tiny fucking boat. Fuck off. Oh my god.
I also like how it was Michael Howard that was leading the charge on this as well.
Michael Howard.
Yeah. Whenever I see Michael Howard, I just see Rory Bremner doing the vampire.
Yeah.
It's
But the Sun actually referred to Spain as Donkey Rogers. Like, that is mad. How low have we got as a nation?
I have to say, I've absolutely loved like the Spanish government kind of approached it, which was just, yo guys, cam your tits.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, this is not really a problem, it's just there, we'll deal with it, just cam the fuck down. But then also on the back of it, they turned around and publicly said once again that they would not stop Scotland from
They
wouldn't veto
Scotland, which is actually a really consistent position.
You can say it for at least 3 years,
but it was nice of them to say it again, just to really kind of hammer things home.
I really think that there's a lot of Europe is going to start trolling on that, because is going to be a hell of, because it is the best thing they can possibly do to troll the fuck out of Brexit Britain. Is like,
it's just support independence.
Yeah, we'll just let Scotland right in. Yeah. No, don't worry, open doors, fine. Like, seriously, we've like really kitted out your place. It's really nice. It's looking pretty Swiss. Just come in. Don't fuck about with the euro or anything like that. Just come in.
I'm waiting because they've said that they wouldn't let Scotland join in the UK's place.
Yeah, wouldn't inherit.
Let's see if that changes, because that would be a brilliant. It's like, Scotland and Northern Ireland are going to become the new UK.
That would be
Gibraltar.
Yeah, and Gibraltar.
Well, just England and Wales. See ya.
Define as an independent country.
It would be absolutely beautiful. Some mighty trolling from Spain, I think.
So that's it. Again, I managed to avoid most of this. And it was like, just down to today, when it was like, oh, let's have a look and see what's happened with Gibraltar. And it was the one headline I saw was, May laughs off Spain war talk. The thing is like, she's done a bit so far. She's coming around, actually, like, we're an island. Like, the UK, well, not the UK, Britain, let's take it easy, is an island. And she's come in and basically torn up the navy anyway. So if Spain was to actually declare war on us, she's only going to be able to laugh, because we'd be fucked. We've got our man and shit out of us.
The thing is as well, though, is that we're both NATO members. I'm pretty
exactly.
Spain is a NATO. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's just inconceivable that we go to war. What I loved about Michael Howard's thing was that he said, oh, well, 20 years ago today. 20? Must be more than that. No, 20 would be about right. Falklands?
80. I can't remember, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway.
Let's say
20. Yeah. 20 years ago, another Spanish-speaking country. It's like, just because they're Spanish-speaking doesn't doesn't mean they're sort of they're related exactly, in any way.
They Jesus are exactly the same. They are foreigners. Foreigns. That's it. There is Britain and there's foreigners. That is it. The whole world now.
Pembin, as our resident bigot, likes his eggs done over hard Brexit.
Do you know what's, like, the whole hilarious thing about that celebration of that war crime that was committed by Margaret Thatcher's government? But apart from, it's like,
whoa.
it's like the, like having been to Argentina as well, and actually turning up on the day of, like, I flew in, arrived to Buenos Aires, and everything's fucking dead. I'm like, I'm expecting this like vibrant city of like tango and everything like that down the street. I'm like, this is dead as fuck. And it just kind of felt like we should ask somebody what was actually happening. Turns out it was like their commemoration of the Falklands Day.
Oh shit.
So British people like storming
you're
in there.
You're sauntering around.
What the fuck is going on?
Union flags out.
But they've, apart from like their like wars of independence and things like that, they've had no, they've never
yeah,
had
they've
a
never
war.
Been at wars.
So they have a giant, like, they have
like
a,
most South American countries that yeah. yeah, wars of independence, and that's been pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah. So they've got a giant clock, like clock that was gifted by the British to them years and years ago, which is vandalized with like all the like Save Las Malvinas and things like that. They take it pretty seriously across there. Whereas for Britain, most of us are just like, oh, that was kind of an embarrassing episode. Like yeah. apart from if you're a Tory Brexiteer, then it was like the ultimate like yeah. deck waving episode.
Yeah.
Right?
It's yeah. a tough thing because it's like there were people there and they wanted to remain British. Same with
yeah.
Gibraltar.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's like we're so connected to Spain, even if we leave EU through NATO, they're gonna be deciding on our future trade deal as well.
Yeah.
And they still fucking own Benidorm.
The Brexit people haven't thought about that.
Yeah. I love that. Every time you get an interview from like Spain, like from Benidorm or somewhere in the Costas, like, well, we fucking hate immigrants. All these fucking immigrants coming over to Britain. Mate, are you fucking looking at yourself? You've gone to Spain to set up a British cafe selling fry-ups. Like, have a fucking word with yourself. Oh, Jesus Christ.
They don't... Like,
yeah. You said Kosovo Sol. There's an yeah. official branch.
But that's the thing, is that they don't see it because where they are surrounded by Brits. It's yeah, yeah. Little Britain.
They're expats, mate, not immigrants. Expats.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, control that story.
They're mostly bastards, so let's be honest. Having had the night out in Magaluf, well.
They're not all like criminal gang lords as well. At least that's what TV tells me.
Yeah, TV does tell you, yeah.
They're all Raywin Stone.
Yeah. There's an older part of Benidorm, which is actually really nice during the day. I went there, because where was I staying? Alicante. I went to Benidorm, because it was close by. And we obviously went out on like a mental night, like cheap drinking, depressing bars. Oh, well, do you know who did turn up? Was Sticky Vicky of Eurotrash fame.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Did she pull you out of her vagina?
she pulled everything out of her vagina, mate. Everything. My mate.
Just you don't want to Google this.
I feel like I need to know.
She's quite old now. She, my mate opposed to her, but she declined.
Oh,
God. It's a shame.
That would have been beautiful. Who was it?
I've forgotten his name. Someone went to Dundee. Oh, right. Forgotten his name.
Nobody we know.
You could have won.
He was from Northern Ireland and he was a farmer.
A foreigner?
Yeah. Foreigner.
We'll be soon. We'll be soon.
Oh, wow. This is xenophobe-tastic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just we've got ourselves into... Well, we've not got ourselves.
No.
Let's face it. Some English people have got us into this situation where we are just literally wetting our pants at how stupid this could... I thought things couldn't get any more stupid than people going mental of incandescent light bulbs.
Bulbs, yeah.
But no.
War with Spain.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe Labour's 1997 campaign will work again, though? Because it'll be things can only get better and it'll be correct.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Bloody Mick Hucknall.
That wasn't Mick Hucknall.
Where was he?
But he did.
Oh, yeah, no,
I'm pretty sure that Mick Hucknall did support the campaign.
What's that?
Mick Hucknall did support the campaign.
He did.
But he did not sing Things Will Only Get Better.
No, that was D-Ream. You're right.
That was D-Ream.
Brian Cox.
The actor.
Oh, no.
No, it was the scientist.
It was the scientist, yeah. I don't know where you're going with your comic misdirection. Sometimes you're like the Ronnie Barker to my Ronnie Corbett.
Funnier.
Yeah. Taller.
Definitely not fatter though.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, you Teen Wolf can. Right.
Are we done with that?
Yeah, pretty much. Apart from I'm going to do a Spanish-themed fantasy fight club, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice segue. Thank you. We are going to do another fantasy fight club this week because we were short on content and it's easy to do.
Cheating, yeah.
Yeah. And we also missed it for 2 weeks, so two weeks in a row.
Go for it.
That works, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to welcome you to the Fantasy Fight Club.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, in honour of our upcoming war with Spain...
I'm pretty hyped.
That's it.
In honour of our upcoming war with Spain, we have a Spanish special theme to the fight card tonight. If you've not listened before, then I'll run over what happens. Each of us will pick two fighters in our specially constructed imaginary nonagon. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then discuss their merits and faults and how we think the fight would go. We then decide on the winner. So strap in as we get ready to rumble.
Oh yes, you're like Poor Man's Gorilla Monsoon.
Thanks.
One for wrestling fans there.
Do you see the Hardy Boys came back and won the tag team championship at WrestleMania this week?
Are they not 68 years old?
They should not be jumping around like that. Also, like the only other thing of wrestling that I did notice was that The Undertaker's retired.
Retiring. Yeah.
Now that is a man that genuinely should have stopped jumping around a long time. He is like 75. Like that is like watching your arthritic grandfather. Like,
has he not won every single match at WrestleMania?
Apart from the streak. His streak was broken, remember?
Was it?
A couple of years ago, that was... internet memes were just the streaks being, you know, my face when the streak was broken, etc.
He was contracted to win it, though, was he not?
What, are you suggesting that isn't a contest?
How dare you?
Taking the integrity of WrestleMania like that?
Well, James will probably tell us off for it and tell us the right thing. But that can be left up to Saturday Night Shoot, our favourite wrestling podcast.
It certainly is.
Who would like to go first on tonight's fight? Anybody?
I'm a newcomer. I'm terrified.
I'm happy to go first.
Okay.
And then maybe if we get Jamie next, because Jamie will do the Fife Hall of Fame. Look, that's a little nod to what's coming next.
That was a little bit inside podcast.
Yeah. No, very much. Some kind of wall or shit.
The second wall?
Yeah, I'm going for the first wall now. Yeah.
It's the partition wall.
The wall we'll build against mainland Europe. But we're fucking out. Yeah.
Down the middle of the channel.
Yeah. So very much in line with our us versus Spain and them coming over here with their fancy pass and move football, you know, showing off as when we invented the game. But anyway, all of these casual bits of xenophobia aside, I thought I'd go for something that really represents Spanish and British cuisine, which is a paella versus good old fashioned fish and chips.
That's a good shout.
Both contain fish.
They do.
You're like an EU regulation.
All your pescatarians out there.
May contain fish. But I'm going to make this slightly better for us as Scottish people to make it a bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's very much a difference between English fish and chips and Scottish fish and chips.
Yeah.
Which, I don't want to go into a rant about how England get things wrong.
But he will.
But, stroke the English. But why the fuck do you leave the skin on the fish when you're battering it? You people are Neanderthals. Like,
that is fucked up.
That is really fucked up. It's like that bit between, like, you know when you're biting into like fried fish supper, and you call it a fish supper as well, which is the correct terminology, not just fish and chips. But anyway, you bite into it and it's like the first bite should be crispy flaky batter,
uh-huh,
followed up by soft white fish.
Yep.
Boom, that's it. There's no need for that little squidgy layer.
Little squidgy chewy layer of
utter rankness where like you're like fish content goes up by like 7,000%.
See, I don't mind a bit of fish skin if it's on something like mackerel or a smoky or even
fish skin.
Oh yeah, on a bit of salmon or trout, just cooked
absolutely
straight.
Good bit of sea bass.
Yeah, a nice bit of crispy fish skin always goes down well. But not in a supper.
No.
Just no. You've got the crispy batter. You've got the outside crispiness of the batter. You've got the inside sort of slight fluffiness of the batter. Then that sort of creamy, delicate texture of the fish. You don't need something else that's just chewy and full of fat.
This is tough for me because
you're English.
Well, technically so Dane as well.
Christ.
Totally. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Fight to the death.
we don't usually win this one.
it's weird because, like, I really love fish and chips, but paella is fucking fantastic. It's genuinely brilliant, and you can put anything in it, pretty much.
I think that's the thing as well. Like, what I like about paella is that fact that you can put anything in it. Like, there's nice bits. Like, northern Spain tend to be less fishy and things mm-hmm. like that, so you get lots of meats in there. Little bits of chorizo and little bits of chicken and things like that. That's
although
lovely.
I have heard something from somebody that's Spanish about that it shouldn't ever have anything but fish in it, I'm pretty sure. And if it has anything else, it's not paella anymore.
Got a different name if it contains meat or something.
And that's a British bastardization.
It's very definitely northern Spain will mm-hmm. cook a rice dish.
Spain's very regional as well.
Well, it's like the whole chorizo thing. Like in the north, I think it's like chorizo. Mm. And then the further south you get, it gets more guttural. You get to the very south of Spain where it's like,
like in terms of local dialects and things like that, Spain's like incredibly kind of rich in their pronunciation and things. Pretty cool. But yeah, no, I absolutely love it. The only thing I would say that slightly counts against paella in my kind of, in my opinion, is I don't particularly like the black paellas when they've got like squid ink and things like that.
I don't mind that at all.
That's a bit too much fish for my liking.
I don't know, because the squid ink's, it's just a bit salty. It's not, I don't think it's got much.
That's the stuff that a squid fires at you to tell you to fuck off. It's not like a get in my mouth. Get away from me. It's
you're eating like squid shit essentially.
That's kind of it.
That's fine.
Like shitty rice. It doesn't matter which region you are in Spain.
I don't know if listeners know, but cephalopods are my sworn enemies.
They are evil.
They're too intelligent.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Problem solving intelligence. I've watched an octopus inside a jar with a swivel lid.
Yep.
Unscrew it and get itself out. I've never seen this object before. And then there was a story of the one in aquarium.
There's a video of it
that escaped.
It jumped out of its pool.
Yeah.
Ran across the floor to a pipe which wasn't that big. Squeezed itself through. Apparently they can squeeze themselves through anything mm-hmm. that's very slightly bigger than their beak.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on.
It was going into another tank and eating fish and then going back into its own tank.
Oh, that's a different
for the
one
morning
from what I've heard.
No, this one was escaping its own tank, going to another one and getting back into its own. And it was only caught because they found it on video camera.
And then there's that one that predicted the World Cup
results.
Right?
So yeah, let's too eat clever. The fuckers.
Absolutely.
Well, shall we call time on this one and give it a vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm much as I've said a lot about paella. Uh-huh. Genuinely, one of the joys of having lived in England and coming back to Scotland is having good fish and chips. So I am going to.
Quick question for fish and chips: though. Everything or just salt and sauce? Salt and vinegar.
Everything.
Salt and sauce for me. No vinegar because brown sauce is vinegary.
Oh no, I have.
You got vinegar. You got to choke yourself.
It's got to make you cry. Yeah, definitely. There's nothing better than a good fish supper.
Well, for me it's fish and chips. But this is actually genuinely the closest one I've had. I do love paella. I genuinely do.
I think if there was more takeaways here selling paella, I think I could be swayed to possibly have paella more often. But there's not, and I like my fish and chips. So I think a fish supper.
Fish and chips for me, especially if you're going to Anstruther or Ainster.
Good Fife shout, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That was remiss of us not to mention that.
I'll be up in Malig on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, so that'll be a Jaffy's chip shop for me.
You're going to get a pint of prawns at the tea room?
Don't know about a pint of prawns, but I'll definitely be getting their battered soul.
Wait, are you taking a holiday, Gotch?
Yes.
Does that mean there's no podcast?
Oh, no, I'll be back by Wednesday.
All right, okay.
Don't worry, listeners.
Just felt the stress levels rise.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. There was, like, I literally just get my phone's buzzing of texts from Ghana. Worried about that. Yeah.
Dave, where do you stand?
I was going to go for paella, to be totally honest, just because it was going to, past tense.
Division!
It's the rarity of it, and it's one of these things wherever I'm in Spain, tapas is just the best food going, and it's because it's picky and wonderful. But
tapas.
You mentioned Anstruther, and that's just like skyrocketing.
Oh, there you go.
Because not only is it fish and chips at Anstruther, it's ice cream too.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
And it's the tits.
I had some, about a year or two ago, I've never had battered lemon sole before. I've always had lemon sole.
But that's what I'm going to have when I'm on Jaffy's.
Battered sole.
It's so delicate.
It was genuinely, that's my new favourite fish and chip thing. It's fucking incredible. Yeah. Have it, listeners, especially in Anstruther. Astrover, it's banging.
Or if you're ever in Malig at Jaffy's Chip Shop. Oh, no.
Right, yeah. We'll move on to my fantasy fight.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'll add that in.
Do you do sound effects?
Yeah.
Do you
not listen?
I can't bear to listen to it back.
Yeah, I find it really hard.
The level of production's gone up massively recently.
It has. Introducing first, fighting out of a red corner. No, I'm going to do it. First of all, representing Spain, we have Vega from Street Fighter 2, when he was playable. Uh-huh. Yeah. Unlike Street Fighter 1. Vega, as we all know, known as the Claw in some regions.
Yes.
His style is apparently Spanish ninjutsu, which is completely made up. which apparently consists about 90% of climbing on fences and walls, and then jumping and hitting you with a rake that he's put on his hand.
Is he really just like
a shit Wolverine?
A shit Wolverine. Or just like a Spanish gardener.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we have facing him, since we're going to war anyway, we have one of Britain's best boxers at the moment, Anthony Joshua, who will be fighting for the heavyweight title this month of the world.
Mm. Who's he fighting against?
He's fighting what's his name?
Klitschko, isn't it?
Klitschko, yeah.
Alright. Klitschko.
Yeah.
Which Klitschko? There's only one's retired and one's still kicking about, right?
It's the one who's at heavyweight, not at, because the other one's at light heavyweight or something, okay. Isn't it?
Yeah, the tall Russian one.
Yeah.
The one that's not a politician.
The one with a really boring style. Oh, yeah. That's both of them. Wait there.
Vladimir, one of them goes out with
Vladimir Klitschko.
Yeah,
definitely.
Aye,
who is a great technical boxer, but if you're not into boxing, it's boring as sin to watch. And I am to boxing, and I find him a bit boring to watch, so you know. Just some quick statistics from heavily researched Wikipedia on Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6 foot 6 inches tall. He's British, obviously. This is important. He fights out of an orthodox stance. So does Vega, though, so.
technical man. Up this week, JBL.
It's good. Total fights 18, total wins 18, total wins by KO 18. So we could just substitute him for Balrog essentially in Street Fighter 2. And he's also won a gold medal at super heavyweight at the Olympic Games. So as an amateur, so I find this a bit tough because most of Vegas style based on waiting for you to jump and then throw you in the middle of the air or
and I don't think Joshua's not going to get off the ground.
He doesn't look like much of a jumper.
He only jumps exactly 2 inches when he's skipping.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think he gets that high. So it might nullify a lot of Vega's attacks. Unless if we did it in, not even in an MMA style cage, but in like a Hell in a Cell wrestling style cage, all the way around, then Vega could climb all the way to the top and just dive on him.
And just dive on him.
Yeah. Is Vega allowed his rake hand?
Obviously. If you're fighting a guy who's had 18 wins, 18 fights and 18 knockouts, you're allowed a rake hand.
I'd be allowed a fucking rake, I'd hope.
Yeah, put the rest of it as well.
Totally.
Sharpen the other end just in case.
No. How does Joshua stand up to a rake? Do you have any stats on that? Has it happened before?
And also,
it's not something he's encountered yet in his career. I think he struggled a little bit with southpaws, but rakes haven't really factored in so far.
And also, technically, like you guys were saying, if he did have the other end of the rake and he sharpened it, does that technically make that some kind of trident or harpoon? technically, I don't really know. It's not going to be a trident because it's got more than 3 claw bits.
Yeah.
You also need to bear in mind that Vega hates getting hit in the face.
Oh, he does!
He's very
great.
And Anthony Joshua loves hitting people in the face. That's like his thing. That's half of his thing.
That's a great point. He'll get annoyed when his mask gets broken.
Exactly. And then what? If the rake comes off his hand, he's...
If the rake comes off, it's game over.
Something I found out researching this, which I took 1 minute to do, which I didn't know, was that Sagat, right? I thought he always thought he was Thai.
Yeah.
He's not. He's actually Dutch, but he lives in Thailand. And that's interesting because... As Dave knows,
my life is a lie.
there's a big Dutch kickboxing tradition, especially in Thai boxing. Apart from Thailand, the best kickboxers will probably come from the Netherlands.
Dutchland
per head of population, anyway.
Apart from Jojo, but
apart from Jojo, yes,
I'm on the Jojo.
So Sagat's actually Dutch.
That's interesting.
That destroyed my worldview.
So should we pass the Dutchie to the left hand side? That's one of the worst segues we've ever had. Really?
I might get the cut.
So, who do we think for this one?
I, Do you know, I've never actually seen Anthony Joshua fight.
I've seen I saw him fight at the Olympics. I don't think I've seen him fight professionally.
Oh, no, you're right. I think I saw him at the Olympics.
He's improved a lot since the Olympics. Like,
and he was pretty damn good at the Olympics.
He was pretty good. He actually, they gave him, at first in his career, they were giving him cans. There was one guy who literally, you know that episode of Simpsons where Homer fights Mike Tyson?
It looked just like that.
It was really bad. But he's genuinely gotten a lot better now. About a year ago when this fight was first getting talked about, I thought it's a bit too early for him to fight Klitschko. Like, I think he will beat him one day, but give him another year or two of development. But I think he's about there now. I think it'll be just depends on how he fights.
It's the fact that Klitschko's gotten that bit older as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like give him another year and Klitschko might hit 60.
And he's got to fight The Undertaker. That's the only person willing to get in the ring with him.
I don't know, for this Joshua Vega thing.
Like, whereas Vega hasn't developed much apart from ultra combos in the later games.
The other thing is whenever you're playing Street Fighter, how often do you choose Vega?
See, I used to like him a lot when he was younger. Really? I used to go Blanka and Vega a lot and just spam people senseless. So
Blanka's always a good one for spamming.
I used to go Sagat all the time because I thought he was a Thai fighter.
He's a Thai boxer.
Yes.
He's a Thai boxer.
No, not an X-Wing.
Let that settle.
God, get out of here.
I'm fucking proud of that. I'm going to take it.
I'm going to beat you on that one.
Get out. Get out, just like the Spanish out of our British waters. Yeah. And them foreigners here, the now Brexit, yay.
It's our rock. Aye, so I think Joshua would just pummel him.
I think once the rake's gone, I think Vega's got absolutely nothing.
The rake can get hit off as well.
Once the hand rake's gone,
that's a massive problem.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it'd be Joshua. He'd just grab him and pummel him, and I would watch that shit. Hated Vega.
I forgot about the face thing. Yeah. It's just Joshua.
That's it.
That's like a red rag taboo for Joshua, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm down with that. So we all agree.
Yeah.
Anthony Joshua.
Right in the face.
Spain on the Britain.
Yeah, Spain might have won a World Cup more recently, but they're not winning in this, are they? No, they're not.
Fair enough. Would you like to go next?
Mine is a bit more kind of off the wall, to be honest. And again, sticking to the Spanish theme of things, I've decided to go for everyone's favourite or most hated Spanish conquistador, Hernando Cortes, versus Huitzilopochtli. That's right. The Aztec sun god.
Just before you go any further, Dave, I just want to say it took all of my control to stop myself going, when you said off the wall.
You should have. So Hernando Cortes, the Spanish conquistador, sailed to the New World in the 16th century to make people aware of who was boss, or to commit genocide. He basically
Europe did in those days.
Exactly that. He was like, let's go and set sail for the New World and make a name for myself. So from 1518 to 1521, he befriended tribes all the way through Southern America, going through Mexico, making friends, turning friends against each other, killing folk. Like a fucking asshole. Or a campana fan, which is Spanish for bell end.
Cabron, I think.
Yes, indeed. We're learning lots of Spanish for when we invade them and take them over.
We're not going to be speaking Spanish, mate. They're going to be speaking British.
Yeah. And they'll learn British whether we want to speak it or not.
Full on Britishies.
That's it. We just got to know how to insult our prisoners properly.
Exactly.
Fuck those guys. Yeah. So basically, what he did is he went across, he was responsible for the murder of thousands of Aztecs and the fall of one of the most culturally evolved civilizations ever, apart from the whole sacrificey type bit. But yeah,
it fucking worked, didn't it?
It fucking worked. Sorts the wheat from the chaff. But the other, as I say, is Huitzilopochtli, who's the Aztec god of the sun, and of course the sun's responsible for daylight, warmth, and the continued existence of life on Earth. So, you know, thumbs up, sun. It's only really a bell end to gingers, and you know, it's fair enough.
That's us fucked, Dave.
Yes, yeah. That's kind of it.
I got sunburned walking about the other day when it was overcast.
The sun is currently winning. Now, basically, I'm going to be honest here, I'm not even remotely here to fight Hernando Cortes's corner. Not just because he's Spanish, but, you know, because he's Spanish. But, No, it's basically my thought on this was Spain went across and they tried to have a war, and yeah, they won the war, but look who's winning in the long run. The fucking sun god's winning in the long run.
Yeah, that's right. In the end, the sun god will consume us all.
Yeah,
exactly.
Expand into a red giant, beak this shit off our tits.
That's why we're here.
And he's going to take the gingers first.
Yes.
Are we also the most disproportionately ginger podcast in the history of podcasting?
Quite possibly. Unless there's a ginger podcast.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of our currently six people that have appeared on the podcast,
three
are their ginger, and I've got ginger in my beard.
I found a full-on copper hair in my beard the other day.
It's spreading.
Just the one. There's more silver.
That's just because I left it in your bed, Crush. You guys are so close.
So just on a technical question, Dave, what do you know about the Aztec sun god's reach? And what type of fighting style does he have?
That's a great point.
That's a fair point, yeah.
I actually know his reach. I have a good idea of his reach. It's to the heliopause, which is the end of the solar system, where the sun's effects not being felt as strongly, and the rest, the inner solar system takes over like gassy sometimes.
Which is completely correct.
See, that's what you get when you get the actor Brian Cox. See what I did there?
Basically, it's fine. If you keep him at heliopause, you'll be fine. But if he comes past your Oort cloud, then something might be in trouble.
Does he not have a bit of a problem where that punch would take about 8 minutes to reach us?
Oh, to reach us? Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's a good point, yeah. But still, he's going to have a lot of power behind that punch.
Well,
you're going to have Fernando Cortes there like with a spear. He's maybe killed, like, let's say, in that 8 minutes, let's be fair, he's maybe done a good job.
And he's just killed your guys who praise you.
That's it. So fuck that guy. This punch can be everything you've got. So what he did, what Tlatelolco did, is he created a hole in the ozone layer straight into South America with that one punch, and that's still there this day. So
I'm gonna add another point to that as well. It's like, even if Cortez is getting the upper hand on the Aztec sun god, what you wouldn't count on is Diego Velázquez running in there with a steel chair to come and get Cortez due to their disagreement over Cuba. So there he is. Exactly. He's up there pummeling the sun god. Velázquez in with the steel chair. Referee's gone.
The late Eddie Guerrero's risen from the grave by the sun god. Yeah. Take him on as well. Bloody hell. It's a Mesoamerican slugfest. Jesus.
I kind of want to know who Rey Mysterio died.
Oh, yeah, Rey Mysterio. Yeah, Rey Mysterio would come in swinging in between pillars. Fuck shit up.
That's it. But accidentally killing people like he used to do. But that's fine. That's cool. It's in the past. You know. Hernando Cortes died bitterly 6 years after travelling back to Spain. Mm-hmm. Reason being is because one of the people who didn't do quite as well in the murdering Aztecs category did a slightly worse job than him when it came to killing Aztecs, but was still given a higher title in Spain. So Hernando Cortes went back to Spain and was given essentially here's a bit of land, mate. Well done. Just off you pop. And he died 6 years later, single, bitterly, alone in his house, just replaying the screams of Aztecs.
And the sun's still in.
And the sun's just mocking him daily.
See, speaking of Aztecs, I'm not sure exactly where it was. It was in Central America or South America, but I was listening to Dan Snow's History Hit podcast, which I usually hate Dan Snow. I think of him as bourgeois history. But he quite often has really interesting people on. And he's talking about this film that's come out called The City of Zed, which is about this explorer who went out and was convinced that there were cities in the jungle, but nobody believed him. And he kept going out, taking parties with him, and half his party would die almost every time of disease or whatever else. And he died, he met these Indians, and he said, oh, I think there's a city over there. And he said, no, there's no city over there, it'd be fucking stupid. But there are what they called fierce Indians over there. And he went, I'll be fine. I went over, and he died. He just saw his campfire go out one night. But turns out, he'd actually walked over where the city was, but it was buried, so he couldn't see it.
Ah.
Which is fucking infuriating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know these things, whenever there's like lost, we were talking about this earlier, about a more recent thing about like lost tribes in the Amazon and things like that. Why is one of the lost tribes from the Amazon always wearing a Man United shirt? One of the things I've always kind of like vaguely
It's the world's biggest brand next to Coca-Cola.
There's a big thing in anthropology that there's only recently been tribes that have been completely uncontacted that anthropologists have actually been able to talk to, because 99% of the time fucking missionaries have got there first.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. And quite often they they get, sometimes they get speared to death or trying to go in. Tribes are like, fuck off, and just spear them. What? Like, yeah. Nah, I don't want to talk to you. Spear, spear, spear. That's bye, bye, bye.
Exactly the reason why Jose Mourinho is called the special one is because he's the first person that ever had contact with the uncontacted tribe, and therefore Man United shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all makes sense. Very much. Wow. And he sort of does have that sort of conquistador feel about him.
Oh, he does. Right.
And just another thing, like, again, in favour of the Aztec sun god, who I think's edging it right now as well. And just to try and win favour with women again, once again, after some sketchy earlier episodes of the podcast, it looks like Cortez actually murdered his own wife as well. And for the very same reason that I hated Floyd Mayweather in the first podcast I appeared on, if he's murdering women, we're going for the sun god.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason.
That's a genocide.
It's a different time. He had old-fashioned values. You know.
We wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a depressing way to look at life.
So, in short, this fight, I'm going for the sun god Wictor Popley.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
100%. Sun god all the way.
I am totally on board with the sun god too.
I'm going to take the sun god in the first round with a extinction level chronal mass ejection.
That'll do.
Yeah.
In one contained spot.
Yeah, he's going to aim it.
Yeah.
Fucking, you pick a spot, he can fucking hit it, man.
Anywhere in the solar system.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Fair enough. Well, I think that's quite unanimous there.
Pretty much across the board, yeah. Fuck Cortez, totally.
I'm definitely thinking about now changing your nickname from Dave Research Rogers to Dave Highbrow Rogers. Because that's the sort of fantasy fight you would get on Radio 4.
Yeah. It's also a link back to our sun clue that Mags did last week on the quiz thing that Penrose was so smug about getting right. the face on the sun.
Yeah, the face on the sun. It is actually very much.
Well, that's fine, guys, because I'm about to bring it all back down. However, got a bit of theatrics here for you.
Oh,
the lights have gone down in the nonagon in the arena.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right.
There's no lights. Then one spotlight beams down at the entrance, and a very dapper looking man comes out. He looks a little bit like James Bond.
If this is Clive Owen, I'm going to punch you.
No. He's wearing a resplendent red outfit with a cape of peacock feathers. He walks all the way down, enters the nonagon, stands right in the middle, looks out to the audience, and he says, "Greetings. I am Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez."
Oh my god!
Chief metallurgist to King Charles V of Spain. And I am at your service. That's right. It's Sean Connery's character from Highlander. And Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez. He's entered the ring. But the lights go out again. It's gone silent. Nobody knows what's going on. Then one single spotlight in the middle of the nonagon once again. And there stood a very well-dressed man with long dark curled hair and a glorious tash. He's also holding a sword. And he says, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die."
Oh my god.
However, Juan Sanchez looks back at him and says, "Ah, Montoya, in the end, there can only be one."
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Oh my word.
Let the fight begin.
Well.
But that's right. It is the battle of the fictional Spaniards from late 80s films.
Technically, isn't Juan Sanchez Villalobos Ramirez an Arab?
I think he's Egyptian originally.
Yeah, he's Egyptian.
Yeah.
However, he does pose as a Spaniard.
He's also spent some time in Japan, remember?
Yeah. And speaks with a decidedly Scottish accent.
That's it. And he's also a Russian sheik.
Yeah. And then you had Christopher Lambert with his Louisiana accent. I want to say like French, you know, French-American Louisiana accent.
You got a funny accent there.
Where are you from? A lot of different places. Who's meant to be Scottish?
As good as Mel Gibson's accent. No.
Do you know, it's been quite a while since I've seen the original Highlander.
Oh, I I can remember it scene for scene.
Can you? Like, yeah. Seriously, I'm having a total blank because it got poisoned by the later ones.
Oh, yeah.
Which are all in New York. It's terrible.
Do you know, someone edited Highlander, because in Highlander 2, they save it for aliens. And someone edited Highlander, or is it 3? No, 2.
2.
Someone edited
Highlander. I don't know what you're on about.
No, yeah, because we blocked out our memory. But someone edited Highlander 2 to take out all reference to them being aliens. And it's actually not a bad film. It's actually okay. It's all right. But in Highlander 1, he wears a red sort of, it's like quite fine.
Quite regal.
Yeah, quite yeah. regal sort of garment. And he has a katana as well, yeah. but before katanas existed.
He got the katana when he married his third wife, his last wife, who was Japanese.
She was a Japanese princess or something.
Yeah, and it was the father that gave him the katana.
Do we see, I can't remember, do we see him fight or does he just teach?
Does he fight with Kurgan? He fights with Kurgan in the Brock.
Yeah.
In the Brock, yeah.
Fair enough, though.
Good old and Iron Age settlements. No, not Iron Age. Later, sorry.
Yeah,
yeah, that's how he dies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Spoilers there,
yeah,
guys.
Sorry.
For yeah, film spoilers. 1986, that was
it. Yeah.
And then, of course, what I haven't said is anybody that doesn't know, Inigo Montoya is from The Princess Bride.
Which is one of the single finest films of all time.
It's a very, very good film.
Correct, sir.
And as soon as we decided on the Spanish theme, I just knew where it was going.
Mandy Patinkin at his best.
Exactly, yeah.
And still probably working as the Dread Pirate Roberts right now as well.
I think it was sort of Criminal Minds or something he was last in.
He was in Homeland.
Homeland.
Yeah, he was in Homeland.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So and just in terms of fights that we've actually seen them in, we've actually seen both of them lose a fight on film.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Now, Juan Sanchez Ramirez loses pretty badly, I think it's fair to say, being deed and all.
Yeah.
Just absolutely brown breed after that fight, but and then he loses to the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah. The other thing as well though is Montoya. He became a great swordsman to revenge his father's death.
Mm.
That was kind of his sole goal from being very young. But I mean, how old would you say he was? I couldn't find anything solid.
Oh, I don't know. I would have guessed late twenties. Yeah,
yeah, 20s. I don't know this film so well. I've only seen it like.
Yeah, I've
not even seen it.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It's bloody good. Worst Highlander I watched on repeat. The bit with the sex scene might have the sort of blurred lines you get when it's been watched too much. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Favorite sort 14-year-old movie.
Yeah.
Staticky lines.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like. But that's the other thing. Like, he's got a good crew to hang around with. He's got the great Vizzini, and Fezzik
as well.
He's played by legend Andre the Giant as well.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a classic team, and he does in the end defeat the Six Fingered Man.
He does, yeah.
In the end,
destroys him. Yeah. Well, that's fine. So about 29, though, you would say.
I would have guessed that.
So he's become a great swordsman with only what say?
Well, he picked up that first sword when he was very young.
Yeah,
I can't remember the age.
14, I think. I think he said about 14 or something like that. So
but he wasn't strong enough.
About 15 years, though, say that he became a great swordsman. Juan Sanchez is 2,437 years old and has a katana.
Wait a minute. I want to defend Ramirez, correct? because Ramirez has he was beaten by the Kurgan, and the Kurgan and God, I can't remember what Christopher Lambert's Connor McLeod. They were the last two immortals left. So.
Yeah.
Ramirez lived for that long fighting other immortals and was only beaten by the guy who got into the final bracket.
Tough. Apart from the sequels, where they're
they don't exist.
Where they're just like, we're the only one left. Oh no, there's somebody else. There's Jim. He's been living in the Amazon. He's wearing a Man United top.
Okay. Nice callback.
Thank you, Coach.
So yeah, I don't know. I like Montoya. He's a good man. He's
got great man.
A good spirit. And
Ramirez is more swashbuckling, though.
Yeah,
but
Montoya's quite swashbuckling.
He is. And the bit where he's only fighting with his left hand to begin
as well.
I mean, that is the difficulty about what swords are going to fight with as well.
That's a good point.
Because a katana's going to like snap right through like Montoya's like little rapier.
Using a shoot.
Sword. Yeah.
But then Montoya is 2,000 odd years old.
That's Ramirez.
Ramirez is 2,000 odd years old, so he's going to be a bit fucking creaky, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's an immortal.
He's an immortal, so he's, So to be fair, he's fought hundreds, if not thousands, of immortals, but stayed at that. He only became an immortal at a late age.
Yeah.
So he did it while being old.
Yeah.
What if some of the immortals didn't actually dedicate their lives to sword fighting, though? What if one of them was just like a data entryist or something? Like that?
And he just comes. There could only be one.
Yeah.
What's that, Kevin? Slash.
Just blood on the keyboard.
Quick,
no, but my point is, like, if I fought, say for instance, I went and fought my granddad, right? Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to be fooling myself with him. I'd fuck him up. Because, I mean, I'm younger than him, but...
Unless your granddad has a knife.
Look, I might have a knife, right? I didn't even think of that. What if he had a katana? No, you got a point.
And so does your granddad.
Always tooled up, like.
Well, I'm going to vote on this one. I'm going to go for Ramirez.
Yeah, I'm thinking Ramirez as well. I think he would take the head off of Montoya.
I think one of our listeners, I think he listens anyway, Ali, he's got a hell for respect for the Highlander films. I know that from speaking to him drunk several times. mainly revolves around Highlander, Sharp and Arnie films.
What else do you need?
Yeah, so on his behalf, I'm going to vote for Ramirez.
I'm going for Montoya. I think his quick swordsmanship, in and out, bang, stab Connery in the heart, fuck him up.
But does he not need to take his head off?
Well, I think once you've stabbed him in the heart a bit, like, he's going to go down. Like,
he's going to go down, but he won't die. The only way to kill him is take his head off.
So actually, that's a really good point, because he actually only has a pointy sword at the end. He doesn't have one with a cutting action. So unless he's got a second sword with him, he's absolutely fucked taking off Ramirez's head.
Yeah.
True. Where 400 is... stabs to get up.
Yeah, I know. You can't just stand and keep trying to stab it off.
Well, you could maybe pop him in the heart and he would go down, and then just kind of like try and sword.
Yeah, that's right. But he's got a sharp edge on his sword, has he? I don't think so.
You could call
him, perforate, you know. Yeah, just like,
you could get a guy in to saw off his head.
Yeah.
You know, we're all shit DIY, just go like, just, well, I am.
Well, Andre the Giant could come in to help him.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Andre could just, yeah, sort of. No, I'm good for Montoya. I've got my boys back, right?
I'm going to go with Montoya as well, I think. Yeah. He's got spirit behind him, and that's what it is. Like, Ramirez has no
spirit.
Reason to fight.
Ramirez has the souls of hundreds of immortals inside him.
But like, he couldn't be arsed anymore.
Fight Montoya. There's like, he's not an immortal, so he's going to be like, ah, fuck me, it doesn't matter. And then Montoya's going to be like, sad. And then sad, repeated stabs to eventually remove the head.
But can he feel a stag inside him, like Ramirez can?
Oh, that's a good point.
I think in the end, Ramirez just wanted to die. He'd just been alive for so long. He's just a bit like, I'm really fucked with this, to be perfectly honest. There's going to be Haribo adverts in the future where, like, adults are going to talk with baby voices. I can't deal with this.
To be fair, his only job in the film was to train up Connor McLeod and give him sex advice. Family planning. Oh, you can't have kids. Get over it.
Which is ironic, because Sean Connery dispenses some pretty sage sex and relationship advice in Rising Sun with Wesley Snipes.
Wow.
As well, which is
holy shit.
Great.
He also gives some to Nick Cage in The Rock.
Yeah.
See, Winners go home and fuck the prom queen. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I liked. Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, it's a great. Yeah. Carl was the prom queen. Really? Yeah. Great
Cage.
This is cinema at its finest. Forgot what I was going to say because you've made me think of a rock. Oh, no. When I was a kid, I had this theory that Sean Connery survived and he wasn't actually beheaded and that he is actually immortal and he's trying to tell us in subtle ways. And all these things, all these films he's made are real things that have happened to him, including The Rock.
Yeah, Jamie. He just went to live on a farm with some really nice people.
Fuck you!
Just like your budgie.
And occasionally came back and told us we should be independent, but that's fine.
and hit women, but allegedly, with
the open side of that.
Allegedly, yeah.
Never with a closed fist. Fucking hell, Sean. Seriously.
Kutch, what's your vote?
I think I'm going to swap back to Montoya because I forgot that Sean Connery is such a horrible man.
We reminded you at least.
He is, in fairness, a horrible misogynist.
Yeah.
But he made some wonderful films. Which does not excuse his misogyny in any way whatsoever.
All starring exactly the same character, too. So.
Yeah. Sean Connery plays Sean Connery. With the same accent.
Well, they did open up the Sean Connery School of Acting. accent.
Yeah,
well,
very much. Yeah. Which I believe you're a graduate of, is that right?
Yes. So yeah, I'm gonna swap. I'm gonna go back to Montoya. So yeah, I think that makes Montoya a winner. So only one Spaniard won.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd have thought the Sun would have won something?
Yeah. It being my least favourite newspaper.
Maybe it was Sun Spanish. We don't know.
It's always there. Anyway, I think that calls the fight night to a close. It is now time to head along to Lumphinnan's and take a wee donder into our council house in Gagarin Way and induct somebody else into the Fife Hall of Fame. Jamie, I believe you have somebody for us this week.
I do. So this week we're going with probably the most well-known Fifer, historically at least.
That isn't a cunt.
Well, no, he's all right, actually. Is Adam Smith, the political economist and philosopher. Born in Kirkcaldy in June on Sunday, 1723, died in Edinburgh, went to Edinburgh to die, 17th July 1790, age 67. If you don't know who Adam Smith is, probably do. He was a figure of the Scottish Enlightenment. He basically founded modern economics, but we're going to take a slightly different twist on him today because he's usually seen as a sort of right-wing free market guy. Now, he certainly was all behind free markets, but he also recognised the problems that come with them. It's powerful people who decide what happens, and that's really bad for workers. And also his famous work on the division of labour. He said, division of labour is great economically, but it turns people into stupid morons because all they do is one repetitive task all day.
And then so, vote for Brexit.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So it's something that we want to get rid of. Smith was also, interestingly, talking about Brexit. There's a bit of debate about whether he was influenced by French philosophy. He definitely influenced French and majorly influenced the American independence movement. But probably something that a lot of people don't know, talking about sort of Brexit and racism and stuff, is he actually stole a lot of his ideas from a Muslim. who was called Al-Ghazali, who was a Muslim scholar, 1058 to 1111, I like that, who basically came up with division of labour first and talked about it. And he uses Adam Smith's famous example is of, I think it's pins, and his example is of needles, and he came first. And it turns out Adam Smith never cited him, but we know that Muslim scholarship was easily accessible and translated into Latin as well at the time, and was easily accessible to specialised academics like Smith, and it seems pretty certain that he just stole it and never gave him credit. So there's sort of, you know, giving people, so it's sort of this thing, you know, back in the day maybe that was a bit more normal, but it's sort of this thing that it's a very international effort of someone who we usually see as quite sort of conservative and right wing. But yeah, so that's Adam Smith.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the interesting point about, to me, about Adam Smith, is it's kind of like the most misunderstood of the sort of political economists, because it's like everyone knows about his, you know, about the wealth of nations and about the invisible hand and all these kind of things. It's like taken as the view for like what is like rampant capitalism. But the other part, the kind of more moral side of it, the kind of social aspects that you need to have to mitigate the, you know, the invisible hand and the sort of the kind of corrupting influence that the powerful have over the market, is something that just gets completely and utterly forgotten about all the time.
And the invisible hand is used, and it's only used, I think, once in Wealth of Nations, and I think it's used once in his first book, Theory of Moral Sentiments, in a completely different context.
Yeah.
And it's used, it's a very strange, I can't remember what it was now, but he uses it in a completely weird context as well. It's just when anybody says the invisible hand, I always think of the old lottery adverts. Like, it could be you.
Yeah, I do genuinely think of like a finger poking up a graph or something like that, renting a graph or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a much more complex, and his philosophy is much more, he kind of thought, essentially, kind of like Locke, that basically, yeah, this stuff's great, but most people probably homestead anyway. So, you know, if everybody homesteads, everybody will be pretty much equal and we won't have to worry about these things. He's often put as like the opposite of, say, Marx.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But Marx really liked Adam Smith. He had disagreements with some of his stuff, but he saw himself as a sort of extension of what Adam Smith was doing. He saw what Adam Smith was doing, and then who he got after him, Ricardo, and these sorts of people. And then Marx is basically like, and then after that, political economy was shit until I came along. Yeah. But it kind of was. And, you know, and he sort of sees himself as an extension and a modification of Adam Smith. And he has some different ideas about theory of value and all that. But it's, people see them as these diametrically opposed things. They're not when you read them both.
No, yeah, they just complement one another almost. But then yeah, that's how a lot of these things go anyway, is just building on.
Absolutely. You build on something, you take positions around certain parts of the book that you read, the book of philosophy that you read, which allows you to take other positions and extend on them. That, they're, like, obviously, Marx and Adam Smith are, like, just two of the most influential political economists, whatever, in any context.
Yeah,
it's definitely. Just, like, that's your kind of grounding.
Yeah.
I think the other thing as well that's really interesting about him, apart from the fact that he's another Glasgow University graduate.
Yep.
Yep, good lad. Is that, like, he was, again, another one of these polymaths, like this enlightenment polymath as well. He's like writing about absolutely everything and stuff like that. He's like, you know, he's kind of sort of, it's quite contested what his kind of religious kind of views were and things like that. He's written on things about that as well. You know, I just think all in all, quite an interesting fella.
And as we discussed with my addition to the Hall of Fame, he was an influence on James Wilson, our US founding father, as well. So that kind of lasting effect as well. So,
Basically, his works is sort of the economic pretext to American independence, really.
Yeah.
Adam Smith.
And kind of the almost the basis of the modern world that we live in as well.
Yeah, it's Scottish Enlightenment. And
I
mean,
can you pause? I know, and he was pals with like David Hume and things like that as well. Worked with him.
He also, just to give him a bit of a personal, what he was like personally, there's differing accounts. A lot of people say he had bulging eyes and was really weird, and that he's conversation was really dull because he thought that everybody would nobody would buy his books if he talked about his ideas. But there's also a story of him putting bread and butter in a teapot and then putting water in it, I guess, and then pouring it and saying it was the worst cup of tea he's ever had, and just weird stuff, and then walking for miles and then realising he's at another village. So he's obviously a bit of a weirdo.
He was from Kirkcaldy.
Oh, there we go. Love it.
Dig.
But yeah, so my entrance to the Hall of Fame in Gagarin Way in Lumphinen is Adam Smith.
And I mean, I think we could all second it. I mean, he's had the most influence on the modern world of any fifer.
Definitely.
We could think of.
He's the only fifer that's ever pushed for science, really. That's kind of. Boy's done good.
He's done really well.
No, I'm quite happy with that. And
fucking hate that Kirkcaldy gets the most influential one, though, don't you?
Bastards.
Yeah.
I don't know, we do have Andrew Carnegie.
Yeah. Fuck. Fun aside, Adam Smith would fucking hate Andrew Carnegie. He would hate him. Anyway.
Is that where the whole Dunfermline-Kirkcaldy thing has been born
from?
Well,
probably. It's due to Dunfermline's poor understanding of the true nature of capitalism.
And Kirkcaldy understanding it?
They basically don't have any kind of capitalism anymore. They just operate with a very basic barter system now. Yeah. Well, if you look at the state of the police...
I was going to say, is that not why...
Barney Motors, that's it.
Is that not why the...
High Street shut down.
No, the shows turn up every... still based on the Lynx Market. Based on an ancient barter system.
A very quick side note, Adam Smith's theories about barter system and that's how money came into being have been proven by anthropologists to be completely incorrect.
Fair.
Yeah, got that one wrong, didn't you?
Well, I think that brings us to a close. I would like to say thank you to Dave for coming along and filling Petey's seat.
Thanks for the invite.
Because Petey's a lazy cunt.
And like I say, he's gone on a gap year to find himself. he can't get out of the British Isles though, so he's somewhere around there just finding himself.
He's in Germany or Austria.
He's walking around Gibraltar. He's preparing himself for war.
He got out the bunker.
The fact that we are winding up now, I think I really need to ask Mark, what is our motto for this week?
You know I don't have a motto for this week, Gadge.
That's a shit motto.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, come on, Beatty's better on his feet than this.
Yeah, I know. I've
praised him about twice in this podcast. I feel dirty.
Yeah. I'm just going to say the motto is, again, reiterate that if you do find Michael Beatty or an inordinately large Wicker Man statue anywhere in the Fife area, it's reported to this podcast. And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's good advice. But yeah, thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Do people know it's at night time that we record?
They do now.
They do now.
Also, I've been meaning to ask, what is a nonagon?
It's a nine-sided...
No, it's a no-sided.
Well...
That's what I thought it was.
No, it's nine-sided.
Oh.
The octagon's eight, the nonagon's nine.
I thought it was octagon. And then I thought, because it's imaginary, there's zero sides to it. Therefore,
a bit,
no.
I thought you had a speech impediment.